What does it feel like when your childhood paradise transforms into a battlefield? For young Malala, Swat Valley was a world of pine forests stretching towards snow-capped mountains, rushing rivers cutting through lush landscapes, and carefree afternoons playing cricket on rooftops. But by the time she turned 6, subtle changes began creeping into her life. By 2007, the paradise she knew was unraveling. Men with long beards and black turbans patrolled streets that once felt safe. Taliban fighters stopped their car searching for music cassettes, ordering young Malala to cover her face despite being a child. Then came the violence. Girls' schools bombed overnight, politicians targeted, Green Square renamed Bloody Square, where bodies appeared with notes explaining their sins. Imagine waking each morning wondering if your school still exists, checking door locks nightly, living with the constant whir of military helicopters overhead. For Malala and countless others, this became normal life. Bomb blasts making the ground tremble, gunfire punctuating the night. A day without explosions meant today was a good day. In May 2009, the government ordered everyone to evacuate Swat for military operations against the Taliban. Malala's family joined thousands fleeing in overcrowded vehicles. She packed school books that her mother made her leave behind, a heartbreaking symbol of priorities during displacement. After a 3-day journey and a 15-mile walk carrying all their belongings, they alternated between extended family homes to avoid burdening anyone too long. Her mother climbed atop boulders seeking cell reception, anxiously awaiting news from her father. For 6 weeks, they lived this routine, school with her cousin Sumbul, homework, and constant worry. Malala turned 12 during displacement, her birthday forgotten as she wished only for peace. When they finally returned, the city was transformed. Streets once bustling were eerily silent, buildings damaged by bullets. Her brothers discovered their beloved chickens had starved, tiny skeletons that felt symbolic of larger devastation. Though her books were preserved like time capsules from a happier era, overwhelming sadness filled her. On October 9, 2012, Taliban gunmen stopped Malala's school bus and shot her in the head. After emergency treatment in Pakistan, she was flown to Birmingham, England, in a medically induced coma. Nearly 3 months later, she walked out of Queen Elizabeth Hospital into Birmingham's cold winter, feeling like a stranger in a foreign land. The family arrived with only the clothes they wore, forced to start from scratch. Her mother particularly struggled, fearful of the high-rise apartment, unfamiliar food, and incomprehensible language. Initially believing their stay temporary, Malala gradually realized it might be permanent when she enrolled at Edgbaston High School for Girls. She struggled to connect with classmates whose world differed vastly from her own, desperately missing her Mingora friends who understood her without explanation. The thousands of supportive letters from around the world became her lifeline, helping her decide to continue her activism with even greater determination. Though not technically a refugee, Malala deeply understands displacement, leaving home because it's too dangerous to stay. Most people expect refugees to feel only gratitude, not understanding the complex emotions of leaving everything behind. "While grateful to the UK for welcoming us, I miss Pakistan daily," she confesses. "The taste of properly boiled tea with milk, authentic rice and chicken, Pashto conversations in the streets, and earth's smell after mountain rain. The call to prayer echoing through valleys and the weekly bazaar's bustle become precious memories that both comfort and haunt. What she doesn't miss is the fear, checking locked doors nightly, waiting anxiously for her father's return, or sounds of helicopters and bombs. This mixture of gratitude and grief, relief and longing characterizes the refugee experience. The courage required isn't just in fleeing, but in the daily choice to keep moving forward, building a new life while carrying memories of the old one." Zainab graduated valedictorian with a perfect 4.0 GPA despite missing 2 years of school while fleeing wars. Yet only she received a visa to America. Her equally bright sister, Sabrine, did not. "I still don't know why I got a visa while my younger sister didn't," Zainab reflects. Saying goodbye to 16-year-old Sabrine at the Cairo airport was agonizing. Zainab arrived in Minneapolis speaking no English, facing the shocking Minnesota cold. Meanwhile, Sabrine joined other Yemeni girls on a harrowing boat journey across the Mediterranean. For over a month, Zainab heard nothing. Finally, a Facebook message arrived. "I made it to Italy. I'm safe." In the sprawling Za'atari refugee camp, Malala met Muzoon Al-Malehan, a Syrian girl whose passionate advocacy for education mirrored her own. Muzoon launched a tent-by-tent campaign against child marriage, telling families, "Without education, what future will our children have?" Her work gained international recognition, leading to her appointment as UNICEF's youngest goodwill ambassador, proving that one person's dedication can create lasting change, even in desperate circumstances. Marie Claire's journey reveals how resilience transforms trauma into purpose. After her mother's murder in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Marie Claire fled to Zambia with her family. Her mother's final prayer, "You can take my life as long as my children are safe," became her source of courage. Following a 5-year wait, the UNHRC resettled them in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Though nearly 19, Marie Claire convinced her school counselor to let her complete high school rather than pursue a GED. She mastered English within months, maintained straight A's, and worked part-time to support her family. At graduation, the first in her family, she felt her mother's presence. She now studies nursing at a Maryland university, planning to return to Africa as a healthcare provider specializing in refugee care. Her story challenges us to see refugees not as permanent victims, but as people in transition, moving through difficulty toward purpose and contribution. Malala concludes with her emotional return to Pakistan in March 2018, her first visit since the Taliban attack. Standing in her preserved bedroom brought peace to her mother's face. Malala left Pakistan with her eyes closed. Now she returns with her eyes open, her mother observed. This return represents a privilege denied to most refugees. Of 68.5 million displaced people worldwide, many will never see their homelands again. Yet Malala's experience demonstrates the responsibility that comes with successful resettlement, to remember those still displaced and use one's voice to help others. Through these collected stories, Malala transforms displacement from an abstract crisis to an intensely personal human experience. She challenges us to see beyond statistics to individual journeys of courage, loss, resilience, and hope. In a world quick to build walls and close borders, these stories remind us that behind every refugee statistic is a person who once had a home, a family, dreams, someone not so different from us. The question isn't whether we can afford to help, but whether we can afford not to.